Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to Flow Guitar Enthusiasts with Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Great tone. Everyone can tell what it is, but how do you get it? With so many styles of music, with new gear coming out almost daily, what's the secret to great tone? Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show, where we talk about tone, what it is, and how to get it. With your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill, we will talk to the creators of tone, the manufacturers, and the players as we explore tone and the gear that gets it.
Tonight on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast, we welcome Joe Beauchard from Joe Beauchard Guitars. Joe has been playing guitar for over 25 years and has been building some super unique instruments. We will talk to him about his great guitar builds and his new pedal line coming out, including the Grape Fuzz, as we demo it live on air. Flow Guitar Enthusiast is proudly sponsored by Sweetwater Musical Instruments and Pro Audio at www.sweetwater.com. Go there, enjoy it, buy some stuff, tell them you bought it from us. And now here's your hosts, Jeff Floro and Scott Sill.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Radio Show. Literally, Scott just flew into the studio from back east. Hey, Scott, how are you doing? You kind of jet lagged? Are you okay?
Well, I've been up since 2 in the morning, so yeah, I'm doing great.
He looks sparkly and bubbly.
Yeah.
He's kind of, But anyway, what have you been up to besides being back east? Anything interesting?
Well, yes, I was blowing stuff up over the weekend, so that was pretty cool.
Blowing stuff up.
Yes, we were shooting pumpkins full of Tannerite with an AR-15 and watching it blow up. It was cool.
Okay, that's interesting.
It's what you do when you go camping, besides sit around in a chair and smoke cigars and stuff. But I do want to mention to remind people, we have one more week to sign up for the Audio-Technica mic giveaway. So go to our website, flowguitarenthusiast.com. Mm-hmm. ATM 510 and an ATM 610A. We're giving away those two vocal mics. So it'll be two winners, one mic for each person. So make sure you go there. And then speaking of Audio-Technica, I was checking out actually the new headphones they had just sent me. They're the ATH M50Xs. So like the ones that I'm wearing right now are the M50s. But these have got a couple new features where they've got a little larger aperture drivers. And they've also got three different cables that come with it that you can. So you have a long, coily cable of goodness.
That's right. The new one, you can switch cables.
Yes. And then you've got a super long straight cable. Okay. And then a short cable.
That's cool.
So, really cool. And I'll probably do a video on that and post that up.
Okay, cool. And everybody, I just want to let them know I've been busy this week. I did another guitar track for Those American Girls. It's actually one of their other artists called Chibley. And the song's called I Need a Boy. And it's kind of interesting. I got a chance to listen to it this week. They sent me a copy of it. So, I was trying to remember what I did on it. And I was using my Strat, just so you know, but I was using my vintage Vox Wah on there with this prototype amp that sounds like a Super Reverb. It has two 10-inch Fender Blue back speakers, but it has like a Dumble front end to it. So I'm getting a lot of sustain and a lot of distortion on it. But the Wah sounds really nice. You'll really like it. And they featured a lot on the song. So check it out. They're on Reverb Nation. It's called I Need a Boy. The artist is Chibley. And it's under Those American Girls. I think it's part of their album Bikini Dance Party that's coming out in November. Check it out over at www.thoseamericangirls.com or follow them on Facebook or Twitter at Those USA Girls. But anyway, it was kind of fun to do, and I really got to rip on the guitar. It was kind of fun.
Yes, and you get to wear a bikini.
No, I didn't have to wear a bikini.
No, you were. You're on the website. I saw it.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we got a great show tonight. A very dear friend of mine I've known for years. Actually, I've known him longer than I've known Scott, if that can be said. So
it can't be said. I've actually been here since ever.
Forever, yeah. Yes. You are an institution. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we get back, we're going to talk to Joe Boshar about his guitars and his pedals. And he's an amazing player, too. So we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Aaron Raby, your resident guitars and amps geek at Sweetwater Sound. 1-800-222-4700 or catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. Sweetwater is proud to partner with The Flow in bringing you the latest and greatest in all guitar-related things, be it tone, be it artists and musicians, their secrets on their tone, amplification, and live performance. We at Sweetwater are just as passionate as the folks on The Flow in bringing you what we consider to be the best in pro audio equipment and guitar and PA gear. Give us a call and we'll discuss gear whenever you like. Number here is 800-222-4700. And again, you can catch us on the web at www.sweetwater.com. I'm Aaron Raby, and thanks again for listening.
Nice pings on the Bruce Kulick guitar. Anyway, it's Bruce Kulick here. You're listening to Jeff and Scott on the Flow Guitar Enthusiast Show. In the QV.
We are back, and we got a great guest for tonight. Joe, I've known for years, as I said, but he's an incredible guitar player. And I'm going to play at the beginning, I'm going to play a clip of him from one of his albums that he did. And I think this was around the time I had first met him. This album was done, but we'll check with him. And I cut together some stuff so you can hear a little bit of what he's doing, the type of stuff he's done. But he's a great player, which I think adds to what he's doing with his guitars and his effects. So let's start right now. Go ahead and play the opening clip. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, now that was done before JB Guitars and stuff, if I'm correct. That was done when I first met you, right?
Yeah, about 2000, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you and I had known each other for about 2 years by then.
Yeah, and let's talk gear. What were you using on that?
what was I using? I had a combination of things. It was all dumped into Cakewalk. It was for a Cakewalk demo. For Guitar Tracks Pro, they called me up and said, "We need something in 2 minutes, and we need that in a week." All right, so I think I used a line. I know I used a Line 6 Bass Pod Pro. I think I used my Marshall,
okay,
an old JMP, and what else did I have? I had just a bunch of different stuff, whatever I could get my hands on and plugged into.
What guitar did you use?
This old Super Strat I used for years. It's just an alder body, maple neck, ebony board. It had DiMarzio's and a Floyd, and I built it, early 90s?
Oh, okay.
And I hogged the bottom horn away so you can get your hand up there and really play.
Oh, okay. So you actually built that guitar. I mean, because I was reading your bio, too, which I didn't know that you were tinkering even before that building stuff.
I was tinkering when I was about 15 years old.
Oh, okay.
And building bodies out of 2x4s and... You shouldn't get chisel and a Dremel and whatever I can get my hands on to build stuff. So I would either build the bodies and grab like old necks or whatever I can get in my neck of the woods. And cobble things together and try them out.
Well, the first,
how it works.
The first thing that I remember seeing you doing was the guitars. I remember when we're going to talk about that a little more in detail. But what was the thing that you didn't get from the guitars that you had or built that made you want to go ahead and build a line of guitars? What were you looking for?
Indestructibility, and that's kind of, that's really a, it's a lot to ask for, but what I did was I hogged the bottom horn out of the Strat, the neck would always shift in the pocket, and I just couldn't stand it. I'm a hard player, I grab the neck, and I'm usually moving it around a lot, and it would just shift enough, no matter how much I'd tighten the screws down or put sandpaper, whatever I could, to get a really good, a good pocket, you know, a nice tight feel. Mm-hmm. And it was one day, I was sitting in a room, and I don't know what happened. I just drew this little shape. And I figured, you know, if you could hog the whole bottom horn away to get your hand up there, but have the neck stay in place, kind of like a set neck, but it's a puzzle piece tenon. And that's all it is. And I kind of just went from there and prototyped about 3 or 4 models, like just kept trying the different shapes, different ways to reinforce the tenon. And once I got it dialed in, I was pretty happy with it. I just started building them back in Los Angeles.
Yeah, no, I remember that we saw you at the amp show, and I remember that neck you were showing me. You were like just really, really pulling that neck, and it didn't budge. And I was pretty amazed. It was pretty solid. And
it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, it's not going to go anywhere. Now, anything interesting or different that you did on the neck and the pickups, electronics? Did you go for something else or more of a traditional approach?
I use Arcane pickups. Rob over there, Arcane's been a good friend of mine for years. And he had some really good PAF-style humbuckers that I liked. And we kind of dialed them in a bit for the actual guitars I do. So I run them a little hotter in the bridge. I use an Alenco 8 instead of a 5. And I feel it's a better balance with the neck pickup. Just I don't like running the neck pickup so deep in the cavity to balance it. So I like to run the bridge pickup higher to the string. So it works out. It's a nice blend. And he makes outrageous stuff. It's just really, it complements the guitar.
Well, using the Alnico 8 as opposed to the 5, it gives you more gain? Is that what happens?
Not gain. It's a little more output. So the resistance is the same. It's just got a little more oomph to it.
What about your top end? Do you lose the top? Because I know like with super distortion type of pickups, you lose the top end, whereas
no,
a PAF you have a...
Well, the guitar is naturally top endy because I run the humbucker about a quarter inch closer to the bridge than other, I don't know about other guys, but the guitars I've seen, mine seem to be closer to the bridge. I like guitars that have a little more presence, a little more bite, because you can always dial the treble out, but it's really hard to dial it in. And I would rather cut any extra high end than try to add it, and then just you're boosting noise and you're boosting gain and whatnot. So
the Alnico 8 ultimately just gives you an overall little boost in all frequencies.
A little bit, yeah, but okay. It's not. It still has that Alnico warmth to it.
Okay.
So it's not. It's not like dropping in a super high powered ceramic pickup. You know, I think it's running somewhere like 9K.
Okay.
And the coils are on, so it's not a crazy output. It's got a little more oomph to it.
Okay, what do you use for the other pickup? Same thing?
It's an Alnico 2, I think.
Oh, wow.
I kind of went back and forth. I had 2s and 3s in there, and we kind of went back and forth on some different models. It kind of all depends.
Okay. I'm just trying, what's the advantage of the 2? You just don't need, you want a cleaner rhythm, or is that really what it is, or?
Yeah, I think it balanced better. I like it smooth.
Okay.
In the neck, if that makes sense. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
So when you switch pickups, you can tell there's a difference in pickups, and when you blend them together in the middle position, it's really nice.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way to say it.
Well, I recommend everybody take a look at www.jbguitars.com because you can see what he's doing and some of the different the models, and he has a lot of different pickup configurations, not just humbuckers, but I've seen some with you had the P90s, and I don't know. I think I saw one that had like Strat type pickups, right?
Yeah, there are a couple with some three singles. Went back and forth with the configuration, how the bridge one was positioned.
Yeah.
Get a little more. It's a little high endier. It's more like a Tele sound than a Strat.
Yeah.
What woods do you like to use on your guitars?
Excuse me?
What woods do you like to use on your guitars?
I like alder with a maple top or Carina. Those are my two favorites. But I like experimenting with a lot of different things. I mean, I've used, for fretboards, like I've used Osage Orange, which I think is a brilliant, brilliant wood. It sounds great. It feels great. But it's, you know, they use it for bow staffs and stuff like that, and for longbows.
Hmm.
I've used, what else have I used? Walnut. I've used a whole bunch of different. I want to get more into domestic species for the bodies and the necks and the fretboards, just because it's become such a pain to get the right exotic woods. I don't know. I just feel like it'd be better to source everything within the States.
Yeah.
You always know your supplies here.
Well, is Carina hard to get now?
No, it's just I've had boards that come in super light and beautiful, and other ones that are just super dense, and
right,
everything in between. So you know sometimes when you're sourcing wood and you buy 300 board feet and it all shows up, you know, sometimes you gotta make with what you got. You know, sometimes you have the luxury of going down and hand picking boards, and sometimes you don't. So
mm-hmm.
I try to hand pick as much as I can.
Now, I know that you're always evolving and always tweaking stuff, and we'll talk about that, especially with the pedals and stuff. But on the guitar, what else are you trying to do with the guitars? Is there something else you haven't achieved that you want?
It's close. The newest one, the top horn's going to be shaved down a little more, and the bottom horn's going to be opened up more like a Strat. I kind of tweaked it out so it's kind of turned, now I don't say it's turning into a Telecaster, but it's got that single cutaway offset vibe to it. That's style wise. Sound wise, I like what it's doing. It's got two humbuckers. You can coil tap them. It's pretty versatile. You know, I mean, it's a Fender scale. It's a little wide. I mean, 1/11/16 is a nut, so it's a little wider than a normal Fender 1/5/8. So it's, for me at least, it's easier to fret chords and stuff. I have big monkey fingers, so.
Is your coil tapping, is that where you're basically just shorting out one of the pickups, or are you actually trying to compensate and keep it at the same level as the humbucker?
No, I'm just cutting out the coil, so I'm just grounding the inner coil, so the outer coils are the ones that are active.
Okay, with the Alnico 9, how does that work? Is it real friendly with the, when you split the coil?
Yeah, it's very chimey. It's a really nice sound. Like I said, Rob and I went through it a couple of different times, and he'd send something, I'd make notes, turn mm-hmm. the back, mm-hmm. try different things. Yeah, and some of it was just component values and little things like that. You know, I'm running like a 39 microfarad tone cap, or I'm just running things that aren't, I don't say aren't of the norm, they're within classic specs or whatever you want to call them. I found different values work better with the instrument.
Right.
You know, I have a big thing, I like doing all the math and stuff on paper, and in the end just kind of flushing it out and then just using your ears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I you know, everything works on paper and all the numbers, and you know, I mean, you can have the best list of raw materials and stuff, you want to make this perfect guitar, in the end if you put it together it sounds like rubbish, then it's rubbish. It doesn't mean anything on paper.
Right.
You
well, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to play that clip at the beginning, to let people know that you are a guitar player and you know what tone is and what good tone is. And I think that clip kind of shows that you know what's happening, which I think is critical, because a lot of guys do design stuff and they're not really players. And then they build something, but it doesn't quite sound right. You know what I mean? And I think that that's important. The other thing I wanted to ask you, though, is on your guitars, too, which I noticed with a bolt-on is kind of a difficult thing to achieve, but I noticed that you were able to kind of minimize the heel on the guitar. Can you talk about that design and how that came about to get – I mean, if I remember, it's been a while since I played one, but the thing was is that you could get access to the upper frets real easy. You kind of eliminated that little heel bump that you see, like, in Fenders.
I just shaved it down. I mean, it's about 5/8 thick, the actual heel, and it just contours into the body. And the neck, neck's a standard, you know, I almost say standard Stratocaster bolt-on thickness, but it's pretty close to it. And just having that mortise and tenon inside really strengthens it, so you don't have to have as much bulk on the heel to keep it solid.
Oh, okay. So the way you have it, with the way that you lock it in there, you don't need that. You can actually, it allows you to keep that heel shaved and thin. Correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because I noticed that. I mean, it had, you could really get up to the top frets. And I think your necks are 24 fret, right?
22. I was going to build 24s, and I said, two extra frets. I kind of like 22.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I picked 22 and said, no, that's what we're going to do.
Well, it, like they say, real men bend to the 24th. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, no, and then also, what radius do you use on your fretboards? Or do you do
12-inch. It's a 12-inch radius.
12-inch.
I felt it was – personally, I like 16. I liked it kind of flatter. But I know the guys like more of a radius. I kind of wanted to get in the middle. I felt 10 was – a little too much. Like 12 is a nice medium. I mean, I could probably go 10. I might go 10 later on, or have the option for 10 for guys that like 9.5 or 7.25 or whatever.
Okay.
The Fender radiuses.
What kind of frets do you use?
Jeskar, big wire. I like big wire. And that's the other thing I should say. I built these for me. Like my litmus test was me. What I wanted in the guitar.
Yeah,
I want it to be indestructible. I want it to sound good, and you know, it's, I don't want to say it's skewed towards my likes and dislikes, but it started out that way. And it's about the more people have input in what they want and what they don't want, it kind of shifts and shapes a little bit. But I mean, if somebody wanted smaller wire, yeah, I can get it. It's not a problem. I prefer bigger wire.
That's right. Well, I remember that playing them at the show. One thing I did notice, and those were earlier ones, I think, when I was at the amp show, because it was a couple of years ago, they were very, the sustain was great, and they played, it's just real easy to play them, to bend on them, and that's the advantage of the bigger frets, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I should say, I level them down a bit, because the jumbo wire we get is, I don't say it's train tracks, but it's pretty large, 6,100-ish size, and you know, I level them out a bit just to kind of knock it down a hair.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't tell you what exactly the height is offhand, you know.
Yeah.
But they're knocked down just a little bit. So it's not quite jumbo and it's not quite medium and in the middle there.
Mm-hmm. No, that's, you know, they it was a good feel, at least for me it was. It felt like some of the older Gibsons that I had played that still had frets on them that weren't fretted out, but... that played really well. But anyway,
that's
yes.
That's kind of what I was looking for.
Yeah.
Gibson, kind of a Gibson feel on the neck.
Yeah.
But a Strat scale.
Yeah. Well, everybody, I recommend double-check www.jbguitars.com for the guitars and take a look at the different models. They're really cool. It uses great wood, and they are playable. If you get a chance to try one out, really take a look at it. It's a great workhorse guitar. They look beautiful, but they're rugged. And like he said, I dare you to try to shift that neck. It just will not budge. It locks down. It is definitely works. But now let's get into what made you start going into the pedal business, because you have a couple. We're going to talk about that. So what made you do what was the evolution of that?
I relocated. That was really what did it. I mean, I moved from Los Angeles. I'm in Wisconsin now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty big shift as far as temperature and weather and stuff. And it's just difficult to get the shop acclimated right now. It's an ongoing process.
Mm-hmm.
So aside from my building has been scaled down, and so to compensate, I started doing pedals. Just I've been tinkering again. I mean, you know, I'm my own worst enemy. I sit there and tinker and hey, let's try this, and always kind of fool around with stuff. And I made this overdrive pedal a while back. Actually, what happened was the quick story. I started playing with some local guys, and they play in these little bars around here. Mm-hmm. It's not like Key Club or the Rock. I mean, we're talking like a guy's basement. That's the bar. And they'd roll in with these little Fender Champs and these Princetons, and that's it. And we started doing this. I'm like, I really wanted to get a large sound. Like, I wanted to be like a plexi out of this itty-bitty amp.
Right.
And so I started making the pedal and kind of tweaking it and just tweaking it and tweaking it. And I was running a Vox 4-watt head through a Marshall 112, and I was just getting these huge sounds out of it. And I was like, I think this is going to work. This is pretty cool. And I kind of sent some out to some friends and got feedback and back and forth, and it's kind of evolved, and it's working out. And then the fuzz pedal was just, I had made a one-off for a friend of mine because he was helping me out with the overdrive pedal. I sent it to him, and he loved it, and then I said, all right, well, let's play with this one. So just kind of took off from there.
Now, I have the Grape Fuzz with me, and I think I have unit number 2, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah.
This is the second one.
One of the prototypes, yeah.
Yeah, so, and keep that in mind. He's constantly tweaking, so there's, we'll kind of, as we go along, because I have that, and I'm going to demo that here and then have Joe give me some settings and show me some stuff so we can give you an idea what this thing sounds like. But remember, he's been tweaking and changing it. So actually what I have is not, it's even changed more and evolved more. But before we get into that, tell me more about the Max Drive. What were you trying to do, the features on it?
That was plexi in a box. I mean, I hate using the term plexi because it gets thrown a lot.
Yeah.
Around so much. I wanted a really big overdrive sound with not quite a distortion box, but almost there, to push these little amps into chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Through a 12-inch speaker. And I really wanted to get a big old Marshall sound or a souped-up basement sound, you know?
Right. So it's more of a drive-type pedal where you're pushing the input of the amp to distort as opposed to a distortion pedal where you're...
It does distort. I mean, it's kind of... The original stuff was based off of, like, it was a distortion plus a rat and, like, a pre-TS9. Like, kind of, I just took the best of everything and went, oh, let's try this. And then it went from trying this to, hey, let's tweak this. And then it turned into more, and then eventually kind of became its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it does distort as I should say, it distorts the op amp. You know what I mean? It's op amp overdrive. So yes, it does have that grr before it hits the amp, and it will push. But it's loud, so it will push the input state of the amp.
Okay.
To clip.
So is it using any? Are you using anything like germaniums transistors?
No, that one is just what am I using? A 4559 op amp, okay. And. It's pretty straightforward stuff. There's nothing crazy. There's no crazy voodoo magic to it. It's just, I think I obsessed more about values and component, like little things like, you know, 5 ohms here and there, you know, or a couple of ticks up and down on a capacitor to dial it in.
But what made you go to that op amp? How did you know that was going to get you the sound?
I bought a buttload of them. I just went through them. I went through a bunch of spec sheets and found I had certain parameters in my head what I wanted.
Oh, right.
You know, I want the slew rate of this and voltage of this and blah, 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 blah. And I literally probably bought 20 of them, just 20 different ones instead of sticking them in the sockets.
Okay.
And then when I was really close, I would tweak the rest of the components,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, oh, that's pretty good, but it's missing something else. And I would go back and, you know, and I would document. That's the other thing. Like I said, I'm my own worst enemy. I would document everything. So I could go back and tell you which op amp sounded best under these conditions and
mm-hmm.
which one sounded worst. And I had a couple, and they were just like, oof, you know, don't even bother remembering these numbers.
But you originally, you were just going to use an op amp as opposed to a transistor?
Well, that was for the drive pedal, the overdrive pedal. That's just an op amp. The fuzz is transistor.
Okay.
And the boost stuff I'm working on now is all transistor.
Oh, you have a boost one coming out.
Yeah. It's that one's turning into the most basic design into the most ridiculous. Let's just throw everything in the kitchen sink. Yeah, I want to put an internally switcher input booster. It's kind of like a fuzz. Like some guys want the input boosted and some guys don't. Or I should say a buffer.
Right.
I wanted to give guys the option to do that. Instead of having to buy a buffer pedal, you can just open the hood, flick the little switch, and now you have an input buffer.
You know? Do you have a name for that? What's that going to be called?
I don't know. The running name is like the 67 boost right now. It's like literally it's just a white box with black letters. It's generic looking.
Do you think you'll have it out for NAMM?
I don't know about NAMM. It's close. I'm obsessing about a couple of different things, which is, like I said, bad and good at the same time.
Yeah.
Good for everyone when the final product comes out. Bad because I lose my brain on it.
Nah. Well, I'm curious to hear this boost pedal. But now let's go to the fuzz pedal. So that's using, what kind of transistor are you using on that?
Oh, it's like they're silicone.
Okay.
BC39 something or other. I've got it written down somewhere. I'm not that good with remembering specific numbers.
Did you try the germaniums and just didn't like them?
I did. It wasn't that I didn't like them. I do like them. I find that since they don't make germaniums anymore, it's kind of a grab bag when you get them. You know, you have to source them. And then when you source them, you have to hope that they're within the spec that you either designed your pedal, or you have to be able to modify and tweak your pedal to the transistor, to the germanium. You know, and on top of all this, you have to be able to get them in bulk or at least a good amount, you know, but they don't make it anymore. I kind of feel if you're going to go forward, everything's silicone, find something that works well and make it sound good. So the original ones I built with germanium transistors, and then I would build the silicone and kind of bring it back, bring the silicone towards the germanium.
Right.
Whether it's with caps or with gain modifications.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask
more of a germanium sound.
Let me ask you this, because we've asked this of other pedal manufacturers. How is it a problem, the consistency of even the silicone transistors, or are you being able to get pretty consistent and good quality? I mean, are you throwing a lot out?
Complete consistency. I have the hardest part sometimes is when somebody runs out of a part and have to wait a couple of days or a week or two for them to get their order. That's the biggest hurdle, you know, as far as parts go. They're consistent, I would say that.
Oh, okay.
At least for my builds, they've all been consistent. And I've A-B'd them, I've stuck them all in a line, I've tried them all, you know.
Yeah.
So usually I build one, I still have the next one with me.
Yeah.
And I'll A-B it to make sure nothing's changed.
Yeah. No, I know that maybe it's because a lot of the other guys are trying to use the germaniums, that I know the quality control is really hard on ordering the chips a lot of times, but that's good that you're able to keep it consistent.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you can sit here and you can try to source your stuff, and there's nothing wrong with it. I dig germanium. I really do. But it's such a pain, and at some point, everyone's going to run out of them.
Right.
I mean, that's just the fact. They're going to run out of all the good ones, and you're going to have a bunch of leaky ones or ones that don't quite work optimally for what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just go silicone and then fix your design or tweak or engineer your design to sound really close to the germanium? And when I have A-B stuff, it's been really close. I mean, unless you have both of them there and A-B them, you're not going to notice it. And the differences are so minuscule. I mean, you're picking fly poop out of pepper at that point.
Well,
that's the way it is.
Let's go into this grape fuzz. I want to describe it real quick, and I'm going to play a little bit. Then I'm going to start talking about it. It's interesting because it has two toggle switches on the side. It has a bright switch and a shift. And according to your directions, the shift is a low-end shift.
And it's a little bass boost, kind of.
Modern and classic. And then the bright switch has two numbers, 6 and 9, and it's basically just normal and bright. And then you have a level control, a fuzz control, a choke control, and a crush control. And the obviously the levels, pedal volume, fuzz is fuzz control. The choke you call voltage starve, and the crush is fuzz saturation, which was like the most bizarre. I was playing around with it. It was like I'd get it just like crush. I mean, it literally killed it. It would just shut off.
Yeah, it will kill it all the way up.
So I'll demo all that stuff. But I played around with it, and this is a little sound. It reminded me of some of different things that I've heard before. It reminded me of a amp, the Stones using a Ampeg amp cranked. That's what I was getting out of it.
Give us a clean first, Jeff.
Yeah, let me play that. And I'm going to tell you real quick so Joe knows what my settings are. So that's, I'm using a little Marshall here. So you can see it's clean. I'm not doing anything in the amp that's distorting. Now I have it switched right now to 9 on the bright, and I have it switched on the shift to classic. The level's at about 2 o'clock. Fuzz is about 2:30. Choke is about 2. And crush is about 2 o'clock. So you get an idea. And I'm going to use the treble pick. I have the Flowcaster here. So that's the clean sound. And here's the distortion. So as you can hear, to me, I'm playing specifically a riff that reminds me of like a Stones. It has that kind of a, it's not a real super gainy type of distortion, but it's got a nice sound. It's got an interesting, and it's real responsive. And it also reminds me, let me go to the modern. Reminds me of the, he was using a tube fuzz. But if you're a Moody Blues fan, that's a story in your eyes. So it kind of gets that kind of sound, which is kind of an interesting fuzz sound that he had got. Now, so that, let me show a little bit. And then also, too, Joe, just throw in there if there's something you want me to show them and tell me how to set the pedal, and I'll do that. Here's, I'm going to go to the combination of the pedals. So that's both pickups, I'm sorry, on my guitar. And this is a Tele, by the way.
This is X coils.
Yeah, you notice there's no hum. Now, I'm going to play a little bit, and I'm going to turn this crush up. So I'm going to go up to full out, and you'll see it just kill.
Before you do that, you probably want to turn the choke all the way down, because if you're at 2 o'clock, you're probably running about 6 or 7 volts into the transistor.
Okay.
So turn the choke all the way to 8 o'clock, you know, like off.
Okay.
And that's full power from the battery.
Okay, so it's fully off. So that's it with the choke all the way off, but everything else the same. Okay, now going to both pickups, and then here's the crush. I'm going to play 2 notes. That's all the way up, crush all the way up. Let me try the treble pickup. It's kind of...
Is the fuzz all the way up?
Yeah, now it is.
Okay, just deck it, yeah.
That's full crush, full fuzz. That's full fuzz, full crush. Okay, that makes a big difference. I was actually kind of killing the fuzz. So I'm bringing the crush down. It's completely off. With the fuzz fully up. And then I bring the crush up. Fully up. Now, with that setting, Now that we've got that, let me try the shift to the classic. So I'm shifting the toggle switch. So it takes a little bit of the mid out. I'm going to go back to the...
It takes a lot of the bottom end out. Like, yeah, somewhere... Yeah.
And then I'm going to switch to the bright... I'm going to lower the bright down. So that's, yeah, you can hear a little bit of the difference. Here's the bright switch going from 6 to 9. So here, you can hear the boost on and off. And then you can hear the low end boost on the shift. I'm going to leave that on. Okay, now, anything else? So the choke basically is starving the voltage. So does that give you more distortion, or is it what's
It's kind of to simulate the old dead alkaline battery thing.
Okay.
Was it Dickie Betts or someone? I don't know if it's him. I seem to remember him talking about he liked like 7 volts out of his battery, out of his fuzz, because that's the sound he liked. And I read it somewhere, and I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. And I started kind of playing around with it, and I was like, you know, it'd be pretty cool if you just dump the voltage to it and just let it kind of crap out. So, kind of stuck it in there, and you've heard what I play, I kind of like things full tilt when I play. You know, there's really no shade of gray. It's pretty much either pitch black or screaming white. So, when I like the fuzz, I just like decking the whole thing and just kind of using the guitar to get sound, like backing the volume off to tweak it out a bit.
Right.
But yeah, if you turn that choke up, it's just going to start getting nasty. And if you turn the choke up all the way and pull the crush all the way, and you can kind of get in between that, I don't say kind of fuzz, but that filtery kind of, you can hear it start to break out and cut in and gate.
Yeah, I saw. All right, I'm going to have, Ronan's going to turn the knob for me. I'm going to play this rhythm sound. I'm on the treble pickup, and he's going to turn the choke up and go all the way so you can hear what it's doing. Is that about noon? Yeah, that's what my battery sounds when it dies.
Single notes, like single note rhythms and...
Now, I have it all the way up, so I'm really killing the voltage.
Yeah, you're just cutting right out.
So, yeah, that's choking it. Okay, bring it back up, and we'll take it all the way out. So then, that could be interesting. I mean,
run it about noon or 1 o'clock, you'll starve it just a bit where it'll kind of start breaking up, not get enough voltage, and get that saturation from that.
Okay.
But it won't completely gate it and kill it.
This is at noon, and then I'll have Ronan turn it to 1. Here's noon. Okay, turn it to 1. Now, also, too, you got to remember when you're using this thing. Right now, I'm playing the amp very clean, so you're just hearing this guy. When you choke it like this, and then your amp's cranked, and you're pulling distortion, it becomes very musical. So, just a little note about that. You can use this kind of thing. It's acting more like a boost, but also it's dirty. But then when you use the distortion of the amp, it kind of adds to it. So that's the choke. Now,
you want to try that? You have a distortion channel.
Let's go ahead. Let me see if I can reach it. Hope the gain isn't too high. Now that's the distort that the amp is on its overdrive. Now that's at 1 o'clock. I'm turning the crush down to 12. That's just rude, but it's great. You get plenty of sustain. That's without picking, I'm hammering. So you get an idea of what that's doing. Ronan, I'll ask you to switch it back to the clean sound. Now, is there anything special that you can think of on this that I haven't shown that, you know, that makes it, brings out the unique characteristic of this fuzz? Because, I mean, I've been playing with this, but I don't know it as well as you do. But what's like one of your favorite settings on here?
Literally just level fuzz, crush all the way up, shift on M, bright on 9. Maybe choke on like 11, but I've been playing more like Black Sabbath, Zeppelin kind of riffs.
Okay, you know, so that would be
that kind of stuff, and that's where it really just shines. Like playing chords, it's kind of hard because it does get muddy. But when you're doing like how many more times and stuff like that from Zeppelin, just playing notes, that's when it really kind of compresses and goes into its fun.
Yeah, it kind of gets that Sabbath thing. Yeah, it kind of gets that sound. And that's the levels at about 2. Fuzz is all the way up. Choke is at about 11. And crush is full.
Yep.
And then the toggle is at... modern, or did you want it at classic?
It kind of depends on the amp. I mean, if your amp is bass heavy, your guitar is bass heavy, classic's fine. You know, if you're running like a 12-inch speaker, modern's gonna move the speaker.
Yeah.
So if you're running something like a Princeton or a Champ with an 8 or a 10, you probably want to go classic, because if you go in M, you're gonna kind of it's gonna push the speaker a bit more.
Yeah.
Than it's gonna handle.
That's your classic. So it gets that kind of raspy. It's a little different than some of the other fuzzes that I've heard, but it's got a, like a raspy type of a nastiness to it.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be a clean fuzz. I mean, it is, to me, it's a dirty, fat, honking fuzz, you know?
But you're going for more of the effect as opposed to, like, an amp distortion. You know what I
mean? Yeah, I'm looking to put it in and be like, we're going to play this, plug it in, and you're getting that sound. You're getting this round, fuzzy kind of, I don't know how to describe it, just big, fat fuzz, you know?
Well,
You're looking to push the envelope with it. You're not trying to get nuances and... in a balanced thing. Oh, I wanted a little bit from the fuzz, a little bit from this, and then a little bit from the amp. It's pretty much put it on, you know, put on your big boy pants and hit it.
Yeah. No. Yeah, because a lot of times I'll use a distortion unit to basically sound like an overdriven amp, but this is definitely its own type of effect. We're out of time, but I want to thank you again, Joe, for being on the show and letting us borrow this. Again, it's www.jbguitars.com. I think that's where are you posting the pedals up there on there too?
Not, you know, the website, I'm getting ready to redo it. It's been a while. The Facebook page thing has really been kind of where I do all my updating and stuff.
Oh, okay. So everybody check out that. And let us know what else is going to happen, and I hopefully we'll get some more news. We can follow up when you, especially with your boost pedal. I'd like to follow up on that and do another show with you on that.
Yeah, I'll send you one when it's ready to go.
Okay, and then I'm going to play another clip to take us out, and just stay on. I'll talk to you after the show's off the air. Just hang on for a minute. But everybody, I want to thank you for being on. And again, check out Joe Boshar's or JB Guitars on Facebook, and check out the stuff. It's pretty interesting. It's a more unique effect. I think this fuzz tone, you got to play with it. It's got a lot of different adjustments in it. But when you do use it, it gets some of those vintage sounds that are not that easy to get anymore. So anyway, thank you, Joe, so much. And everybody, I hope you have a great weekend. Scott, I hope you get some rest from your jet lag.
I will get some rest. And make sure you go to our website to sign up for the Audio Technica giveaway.
Yeah, next week. Our guest next week is going to be Snuffy Walden. And
Snuffy.
He's great. It's going to be a real fun one. I'm trying to get him to bring some of his guitars down.
Speaking of Snuffy, I picked up a Snuffleupagus for my daughter as a little gift when I came by. And it's her one-year birthday here in 2 days.
Oh, happy
in
birthday.
In 2 days. So yes. I can't believe it's been 1 year. So happy birthday, Vanessa.
Yes, happy birthday, Vanessa. Anyway, everybody, have a great week, and we will see you next week. And also, too, thanks to Ronan for running the board since I'm here behind the guitar. And Joe, hang on. Thank you again for being on the show. Everybody, have a great week. Good night.